Please open your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Before we begin, just like to acknowledge the fact that some people are not with us, and hopefully they're joining us live stream, part of the members of this church. And though they may not be gathered in this room, they are attempting to gather with us over a live stream on band. So I hope everything's working, and if you're there, I welcome you guys. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, we do come to you this morning and praise you. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us today, a day to glorify your name, a day in which you have set aside for us that we may worship you, and that we also may receive from you an abundance of mercy and grace, and to receive from you wisdom and knowledge, that we may understand how our lives reflect your goodness, how they reflect the reality of the person and work of Jesus Christ. I pray this morning, Father, that you would be with me as I attempt to give your word to your people. And I pray that you would work upon all of our ears, all of our hearts, and all of our minds, that we may receive your truth. Gracious Father, we thank you now for this time. May we be blessed as you are glorified. It is in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Mother's Day. Mother's Day. Do you find that somewhat interesting that in a secular society we celebrate mothers? What I mean is this. In our secular culture, we tend to diminish the honor and prestige of motherhood. To the world, motherhood is a secondary issue. You might even say that in the world's eye, raising children is like condiments on a hot dog. They're not all that important. You just may like the flavor of it. If we raise motherhood above career or hobbies, if as mothers you put your children before yourself, you are criticized. You are even looked at as though you may just be stupid. Now, that's a word for you. A word that most mothers will tell you is not nice. But then again, the world is not nice. So why then does a secular, non-God-glorifying society have a day like Mother's Day, where we seek to honor those that God has specially gifted? The answer is quite simple. You and I both know that the secular world will celebrate any holiday that they can make money on. So, why do we as Christians choose to join in the celebration with the world on this day that we call Mother's Day? The truth is, only those that honor God can truly honor mothers. And this is for one simple reason. God has created mothers in such a way that they reflect and are an example of the characteristics of God. God does nothing without purpose. So mothers, the main purpose for honoring you today, as well as every day, is not merely because you raise children, but in fact, if you are raising your children and living your life by faith, then you reflect the glory of God in your life. You exhibit the truth of the grace and mercy and the living sacrifice that is a reflection of the person and work of Jesus Christ. A very expression of the gospel itself. I know at times that from others you can feel very unappreciated. You may feel as if your life has very little purpose, or that things you do from day to day absolutely have no light bearing upon the world, especially in relation to the gospel. Yet that is the furthest thing from the truth. You see, even in the most mundane and distasteful task that a mother may perform in her lifetime, day through day, day by day, you need to stop and consider the work of God in Christ. Jesus, upon his church, in light of the task that you undertake every day, you may be surprised what you will find. I was having a conversation a while back on the topic of motherhood, and the question was posed to me. So if we are to glorify God and honor God in all that we do, how do we glorify God in changing a diaper? Well, if you truly think about that, the answer becomes very, very clear. The gospel tells us this. It tells us that as sinners, we are unable to cleanse ourselves. We are sinners. We are putrid and we have a bad odor to ourselves. And yet Christ cleanses us because we have no ability to cleanse ourselves. He takes away the putridness and the stench that sticks to us because of the defilement that comes from our hearts. It comes from within and it just covers us. And so in the same way, if you think about it as a mother changes a diaper, you are doing the very thing. It shows us a picture. It shows us a picture of the reality that Jesus, or that mothers display in the everyday mundane task of life, changing a diaper to the glory of God, reflecting upon the cleansing of our souls by another because we cannot cleanse ourselves. This is amazing. Daniel, can you check that? Because that was my phone ringing. Make sure that it's still recording. Okay. And so when we look into Scripture, we find that God uses the things of this creation to draw attention to himself. You see, the problem isn't It's not what we are doing, it's our view of what we are doing. Mothers should be honored, not just today, but every day. And not just because God says, honor your mother and your father. Not only because it's a command, which by itself says there is something very important about this, but also because of what it represents. We find in Scripture that God uses all these things of creation to draw attention to himself. As the Scriptures even said, that the heavens declare the glory of God. But other things we find in Scripture also express the characteristics of God. But they display them in the sense of who man is and how man expresses God's glory in living and acting in certain ways. He uses man as an example, as a way of understanding him, and mothers are used quite often to reflect the nature of God. When we think about God, we think about him being masculine in his being. And yet that does not take away, nor does it separate. We have a distinction between men and women. But when it comes to mankind, all mankind, is to glorify God. Anyway, we'll go on. He'll fix that. And so God has expressly made men to be those that are called upon to reflect the glory of God. We are called upon to live in the way that the Scripture tells us to live so that God may gain the glory. And mothers do it very well. When mothers live according to faith, when mothers live without fear, when mothers live according to the natural aspect of what God instills in them, which he doesn't necessarily instill in men the same way. And yet we see that it's a reflection of God. If we look at our text this morning, we have to recognize that Paul is speaking here, and he's talking about, or he's comparing himself, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he is comparing himself to a mother, not to a father here. He'll do that later on. But here he's comparing himself to a mother. And not merely to a mother, but to a nursing mother. I want you to think about that. Just in light of our culture today, especially, nursing mothers are looked down upon. They're looked at as though it's a disgusting thing that women do. But there's much to be said about this. This is significant. And it's significant because he's talking about how gentle and how he cherishes the church of God, just as a mother is gentle and cherishes her own children by nursing them, by feeding her infant. And that's a sacrifice. It's a great sacrifice. You know, I have never been a mother, but I have fathered 5 children. And I have very vivid memories of the trial and the sacrifices that my wife has made. Sleepless nights, demanding days, and a continued sense of not knowing what tomorrow might bring. The daily concern of her children's health and safety. You know, one of the things that we've joked about many times is when your child wakes at night, every night, And you pray, Lord, please let my baby sleep so I can get some rest. Please let my baby sleep through the night. And then the baby sleeps. And then in the middle of the night, you wake up and go, what's wrong with my baby? And you rush in there and you wake the baby up to make sure the baby's okay. You've been praying the whole time. But that's the heart of a mother. Because the mother cherishes her children. This is a gift. And I want you to understand something. A mother never stops cherishing her children. I can tell you right now, my wife will love her children and cherish them until the day she dies. It doesn't matter how old her children get. It doesn't matter how much her children like it or dislike it. It's never going to change. God has given her something that is beautiful. And he's given it to every mother to love her children. And she loves them desperately. And so she has gone through trials, sleepless nights. And yet, in the illusion of organized chaos, she was always gentle. She always cherished them. The wonderful gifts that God has given her. Never despising the pain. Never despising the sleepless nights. Or the deep concerns she has always had for her children. Instead, she has embraced it. And so when Paul expresses his actions toward the church as a loving mother, he does not see it as a dishonoring mark against himself, but as an expression of that which is God glorifying. He recognized it that as one God is appointed to oversee his church, rendering motherly characteristics towards the church as a mother renders those godly characteristics towards her children. So let's examine the text surrounding this verse this morning. Because there's so much more to be said here in light of motherhood. I don't think it's far-fetched in light of Paul's statement in verse 7 that we're looking at this morning to see his actions and affections that he has shown towards the church of God as anything different than what a mother shows to our children. So if we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, I'm going to try to go through this with somewhat of speed because we just don't have the time this morning, because there is some parts of this that I want to emphasize much more than others. To begin with, it says, For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. And just that statement alone, we need to think about this. A mother should realize that when she is bringing up her children, and this is at any age, but when she is bringing up her children, the work she is doing is not vain. Even though so many times I know it can feel, as a father even, I know this. But even discussions I've had with my wife, we know how difficult life is rearing our children, wondering, did we do this right? Did where are our children headed, etc., and so on. But the reality is that what we do is not in vain. There's purpose, and a mother has a purpose. One of the greatest purposes in the world, to raise godly offspring. But even after we have suffered before and were spitefully treated, this when you read through this, and if you've been around as long as my wife and I, these make a whole lot more sense to us in raising children than some who may be young parents. We know what it's like to be mistreated for the way we raise our children, especially mothers. Mothers, I can speak of on my own behalf, but I've also seen how much more difficult things can be on my wife because she is the primary caregiver of the children day in and day out. The mother is the one that tends to every need of the children, while most fathers go away and try to earn money to support the home and to take care of all the financial needs that are there. Whereas the mother is left to do that rearing of the children. And when you do things that you do for the sake of the glory of God as a mother, I've watched my wife take abuse from the world. I have seen her endure it for the sake of her children. You know, I can't use a whole lot of examples except the example of my own wife, and I'm sorry for that, but she's the one I know the best. Throughout our lives, I have been the sole breadwinner, for the most part. And through all those years, we've never despised the fact, either one of us, through hard times, and we've had some really, really hard times, but there has never been a point where we were willing to sacrifice the glory that my wife was bringing to God in raising the children. The value of motherhood is much more valuable than the dollar bill that goes into my billfold. We decided early on that we would not sacrifice, and it was never a thought to sacrifice it. Yet my wife sacrificed because we went without at times. She could have gone to work and alleviated some of those sacrifices at times. Instead, she embraced not just suffered, not just sacrificed through it, but she embraced it. And that's what mothers do. They embrace these things in life for the good of their children. As you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God with much conflict. There's much conflict in raising children. We know that. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanliness, nor was it in deceit. This is an interesting statement that he's making here, and if we bring it in line with his statement of caring as a mother for the church in the context of this passage, it gives us, a glimmer of the reality that mothers who love their children always desire what is good for the children. Always. And I know children don't always think that way. They don't always think, well, my mom really cares about what I want. She doesn't really, you know what, the reality is she cares what you need. She cares to do for you the things that you need in life. A mother's motive, a mother that glorifies God, her motive is never about her own desire. A mother who lives by faith and cares about what God says and cares for her children cares about the welfare of her children above her own desires, above her own needs, above all those things. This is the glory of a mother, exhibiting the sacrificial life of Christ. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. A mother's heart is not about pleasing men. It's not about pleasing herself. It's about instructing and leading her children to Christ. This is the most significant aspect of a mother's life. You have heard me say from more than one occasion from this pulpit that when it comes to my children's understanding of the Word of God, when it comes to their upbringing in the Word of God, I'm a pastor, but I credit my wife with the foundational work of bringing our children into the truth of the Word of God. I credit her with the reality that day in and day out, she led my children to the Lord. If we turn to 2 Timothy 3, Paul's going to give us something greater here than just the examples of a mother. Something greater than just the idea that by a mother's actions, she displays the characteristics of God, but the direct interaction with her children have an effect on their souls. What a beautiful work that women are given to do. To glorify God, nurturing their children to the glory of God, to bring to them the gospel. Starting in verse 14 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, he's speaking to a young pastor. Listen to the context. Paul the apostle is speaking, he's instructing, he is encouraging, he is giving to this young pastor what he needs. And he says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So, but we consider this. Paul is speaking about that, how Timothy has known the Scriptures from childhood. He tells Timothy to remember who taught you these things. He says, first of all, we should reflect on the fact that Paul instructs Timothy to continue in the things which he has learned. And not just what he's learned, but because of who he learned them from. So the question is, who did he learn them from? Who did he learn all of this from? Now, of course, some might just say, well, he was taught by Paul. And of course we know that's true. He was taught by Paul. However, Paul is not reminding him of what he was taught in his presence. He's reminding him of what he learned as a child. As a child. So if we're to understand this a little clearer, we need to answer that question. Who is it that Paul is speaking of when he says, remember who you learned them from? Turn to chapter 2, or chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:3 says, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience. As my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you. This is outstanding. This is outstanding because Paul calls to remembrance in his own mind Timothy's genuine faith. Paul is contemplating the faith of Timothy. And he says, that this faith, it first dwelt in his grandmother and in his mother. I want you to understand something here. He does not say in his grandfather and his father. Now, this is a fascinating thing because when you really consider the Jewish mindset at the time, mothers were not credited with a lot of things. But here, Paul is identifying the reality of the situation. And he says to him, he says that he remembers his genuine faith that was also found in his grandmother and his mother. So Paul gives honor to Timothy's mother and grandmother. He doesn't use their titles merely. He doesn't just say mother and grandmother in some generic way. He calls them into remembrance by name. This is unbelievable. Paul is honoring the specific individuals for raising up Timothy. He is giving to his mother and his grandmother credit for what he learned in his childhood that brought him to repentance. I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. So I think there is something here that is most essential in the Christian home. It's essential. I think we can deduce by this text that there is a God-intended primary course of instruction that is passed down from generation to generation by the mother. Mothers should never discount their jobs. The Apostle Paul elevates the mother of Timothy, a pastor, elevates the mothers as being responsible for the conversion of Timothy's soul. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He credits it to the teaching of his mother and grandmother as they instructed Timothy as he was growing up and he became a pastor. We can look through history books of the church and we can see time and time again the Wesleys were encouraged by their mother. They found faith through the faith of their mother. John Owen speaks of his mother numerous times. And it goes on and on. Because their mothers were influential. The reality is, and we need, fathers, we need not to be prideful, but to recognize that the most influential person in a child's life is not you, it is your wife. It is the mother of your children. She builds and lays the foundations of life in everyday reality. No mother should ever feel belittled because she stays at home and tends to her children. She should feel blessed And she should deliver that living sacrifice to her children, caring for them. It is her primary task in life at that time. Raising godly offspring. So again, Paul makes it pretty clear that the role of a mother is one of the most important roles in mankind. He indicates it to us that the primary aspect of the godly raising of children in the home falls upon the mother. What a blessing. It's a blessing to recognize that. And for mothers, it's a blessing to attend to those needs of her children, just as Christ attends to the needs of his children. And we look at all these things and we recognize that even as we would, if we were to continue through 1 Thessalonians, and we realize that Paul did not do this for glory, nor does a mother do it for her glory. He says, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. You see, as the apostle has authority in the church and could make demands, so a mother has authority with her children. And she can make demands. And yet, in the same way, as one overseeing the church of God, it is more about loving than demanding. There may be authority there, but the greatest concern is loving. The greatest concern is to bring the body of Christ to the glory of God. And the more important place for a mother is to bring her children to reflect that same love. Gentle among them, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Affectionately longing for you, as a mother affectionately longs for her own children. A godly woman will bring the gospel to her children. At the sake of her own life, she will give it for her children. I'll tell you a story about my wife. This just came to my mind. So, when we lived in Catoosa, my wife was, I think it was only Samuel. It was only Samuel. And she was taking a stroll around the neighborhood. Had Samuel in his little stroller. And she's strolling around the neighborhood. And a dog comes charging out. Well, my wife doesn't run away. She puts herself between Samuel and that dog. She's willing to take whatever damage this dog is going to do into her own self for the sake of saving her children. Not even a second thought crossed her mind. She was willing to lay it down for the sake of her children. Does that sound familiar? You see, our wives, the mothers, women, have a God-honoring place to reflect Jesus Christ in their life. That's not left to the men. But when women have an elevated sense of it, especially when it comes to being mothers, it is beautiful. As it says, not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. Because you have become dear to us. Mothers, she always see their children as dear to them. Laboring night and day, we may not be a burden to you in any way. A mother labors night and day for the children. Not to be a burden to the children, but to love them, to raise them. And that doesn't stop when they move out. It doesn't stop when they reach a certain age. That innate aspect of a mother remains forever. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It is a reflection of Christ and His church. It's a reflection of that beauty that we find in the giving of the gospel. Mothers. If we don't honor mothers, if we detest motherhood, if we look at being a mother as less than being something else, then we dishonor God Himself. Motherhood is one of the greatest career choices any woman can ever make. Ever. Because she's chose to give everything else up for the sake of her children. For the sake of loving them. It is so beautiful. Just as Christ gave up His own glory to come to the world. And to give up His own life for the sake of the children of God. You see the reflections? You see how God uses mothers to let us see the gospel even clearer? And all of this, when it's done properly, when it's done in the way of glorifying God, it reflects God and the way He comforts His children. Turn to Isaiah 66 for a moment. We'll close with this. Isaiah 66, 12 through 14. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her. He's speaking to Israel. But we can consider this also in light of the church, in the sense of how God works in His church. And you'll see why I say that in a minute. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. So He's including the Gentiles. This is a reflection. This is a prophecy, if you will, of the coming unification of the one new body out of the two. And the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you, God's children, God's people, shall feed. On her side shall she be carried. Like a child, the nation shall be carried. You shall be carried as a child. And dandled on her knees. That's an interesting word. Because what it means the way that a mother affectionately holds her children in her lap. How a mother affectionately holds her children in her lap as one whom his mother comforts, so I, God, will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. God Himself is taking a mother to illustrate Himself. As a mother holds on to her children, as a mother carries her children, as a mother feeds her children, as she affectionately embraces her children upon her lap, as a mother, God comforts us. Now listen to what He says about this. The very next verse is wonderful, because He gives us something here to say, if you understand this, If you understand a mother's love, if you understand the comfort that a mother gives to her children, you understand that I, the God of all creation, will comfort my children in that same way. He says, when you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like grass. As the church of the living God, if we recognize, if we pay attention, we are so sinful and so deluded in our thinking that we do not reflect upon the real nature of a mother and the glory that it brings to God. And if we don't, we can't appreciate this. Our hearts cannot rejoice over the comfort of God. Listen, he says, when you recognize my comfort is like the comfort of a mother, it is then you shall rejoice. You see, that's why the world can't celebrate Mother's Day. All they want is money. If we're celebrating Mother's Day, we celebrate it because we recognize that when we recognize the reality of a mother and her children, we recognize what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. The comfort that he gives to us is as a mother. A mother. We should not despise mothers. Doesn't matter whether it's your mother, whether it's your wife, or somebody else's mom. Never despise a mother. God has placed, just as God instituted marriage with the intention of reflecting Christ in his church, so too he instituted the role of motherhood to show the comfort that he gives to his church as a mother comforts her children. He says, when we recognize that our bones shall flourish like grass, the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to the enemies. When we recognize that, we'll realize then, God, his hand is upon us. As a mother places her hand upon her child. As a mother carries her child, God carries us. As a mother nourishes her child, God nourishes us. So that regardless, we flourish like grass. Rejoice! And that's why we celebrate Mother's Day. To remind ourselves of the honor that is due a mother. You see, it goes well beyond just the command. But what the command is based upon. The command of God to honor your mother is based upon the fact that God says, I am like a mother. And for this we should rejoice. And to see that comparison of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the eyes of our mothers. What a glorious reality. To be mothered and to mother. But reflect on it in light of this, and all of a sudden, it becomes much greater. I pray that God will bless this day and allow us to be obedient by honoring mothers. To honor our mothers is to glorify God, for we obey God and reflect his care for his children that he has cleansed. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, thank you Thank you this morning, Father, that you have allowed me to express to your people the wonderful nature of a mother. A wonderful nature that is depicted by your very hand in the way that you care and tend to your church. It is a marvelous day. I thank you, Father, for this opportunity that we can worship you even in this. Father, may our hearts be overwhelmed by the truth as we see it reflected in life. Strengthen us today, Father, and help us to acknowledge you in the honoring of our mothers. It is in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.